الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Fortunate Believers And as you know by now we are discussing those amazing verses wherein Allah Azza wa Jal directly addresses the believers by saying Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا All those who believed And inshallah, in this episode, we'll also be covering another one of these verses. This is the 43rd verse of Surah Nisa. Let's listen to the recitation as well as the translation. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqrabu s-salata wa antum sukara hatta ta'lamu ma taquluna wa la junuban illa abiri. Illa abiri sabilin hatta taghtasilu. وَإِن كُنتُم مَّرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا Translation O believers, do not approach Salah in the state of intoxication until you have the sense to understand what you say, nor in the state of impurity without having a bath, i.e. ghusl, major ritual ablution, except whilst traveling. i.e. perform tayammum if you cannot find water. And if you are ill or on a journey or one of you returns from responding to the call of nature or you have touched women, i.e. had intercourse, and you do not find water, therefore perform tayammum with pure sand, so rub your faces and your hands, i.e. as well as the forearms, including the elbows, with it. Indeed, Allah is most pardoning, most forgiving. So this is the verse inshallah that we'll be speaking about. And first of all, before anything, it's important to highlight here that whenever we listen to Quran, whenever we listen to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any Islamic ruling, it is imperative, it is necessary, absolutely necessary to listen to the speech fully. Because as you've just heard, the first part of this verse, Allah Jalla wa'ala, He says, do not come close to Salah, do not approach Salah whilst you are intoxicated. So somebody cannot deduce or infer from this verse that you're not to pray Salah. Or if somebody says, after being influenced by Shaitan, that you can't drink alcohol and perform Salah, but generally you can drink alcohol. It just means that don't pray Salah whilst you are intoxicated. Ma'azallah, summa ma'azallah. So this is a very ignorant way of looking at things. When we listen to a verse of the Quran or a hadith, then we must understand that in light of what the ulama, the mufassirun, the muhaddithun, the fuqaha, the mujtahidun, the great eminent and erudite scholars of this ummah have understood, not our own limited intellects. The second clarification is that this verse was revealed in the early period of Islam. In the beginning stages of Islam, when alcohol was not forbidden, it wasn't outright forbidden, it wasn't prohibited. In total, there are four verses of the Quran regarding khamr, regarding alcohol. One of the verses, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, and Allah jalla wa'ala reports this, documents this, that they ask you regarding khamr, عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ Say, O beloved, that in both of them, it's a great vice, great sin, إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ And there are some benefits for the people. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا This is greater, this is worse than the benefits that are attained. And we just look at society, insan, human being, he takes pleasure in drinking. in drinking alcohol, but the nuqsan are far greater. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, he knows what is better for us. He created us. And he jalla wa ala is saying that the harms, the sin, the vice of drinking is greater than any benefit that can be attained therefrom. And then further verses were revealed, and eventually the absolute prohibition. Verses in Surah Ma'idah, inshallah, we will hear further on as well. Now here it's important to note that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never went close to alcohol, let alone drink it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never partook in anything related to alcohol. And not only the beloved alayhi salam, but many sahaba, many of the companions alayhim ridwan did not drink alcohol as well. And there's a beautiful narration about Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib, also known as Ja'far Tayyar, radiyallahu ta'ala, that once Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam came to the beloved court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah azza wa jal likes four things about Ja'far Tayyar, meaning four traits, four qualities about him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companion, Sayyiduna Ja'far radiyallahu ta'ala, and what are those four things? And listen carefully. He said, number one, I never drank alcohol before the prohibition of alcohol, nor after it. Meaning I never drank it when it was halal, and nor did I drink it when it was haram. Completely stayed away from it. Why? Because I knew it would cover the intellect, it would weaken the intellect. The second thing, I never worshipped an idol. Why? Because I knew the idol could neither benefit me nor harm me. So I never worshipped an idol. The third thing, I never went close to zina, adultery and fornication, as I considered it an act of indecency, immodesty. I never did this. And number four, I never lied. Why? Because I considered it an evil, a vice, a bad thing. So these are the four things that Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala said regarding himself. These things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves about him. And one of them, that he never went close to alcohol, never drank alcohol before the prohibition of alcohol in Islam and after as well. Now let us hear the verse of Surah Ma'idah regarding the prohibition of alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytan fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Now this is that verse, dear viewers, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited and has commanded to stay away from the consumption of alcohol, amongst other things like gambling, etc. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, they are rijsum min amal shaytan. They are an impurity from the acts of shaytan. Fajtanibuhu. So refrain from them, abstain from them. Ta'allakum tuflihun. So that perhaps you may be successful. So alcohol has been declared as categorically haram. Now here, I'd just like to mention an account. Sayyiduna Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala, a Sahabi Rasul, he was in a gathering where the people were drinking, they were intoxicated. A dispute arose, they started to quarrel. So he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he requested, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, state the ruling on alcohol. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his blessed hands and said, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayanan shafiya. But O Allah, state for us the ruling on khamr. Such a ruling that is clear for all to see. And this verse was revealed that it's rijsum in amal shaytan. Stay away from it. This verse was revealed forbidding the drinking of alcohol. Now, another thing to note here, dear viewers, is that alcohol is not just haram to consume, it's also impure, it's also najis. Meaning, if it falls on your clothes, even a drop of it, then it's made your clothes impure. And then, depending on how much area that drop of alcohol covers, if it's the size of a dirham, then it's wajib to remove that. If it's more than the size of a dirham, then it's farz to remove it and then offer your salah. You can't offer your salah in both of these situations. It would be sin to begin your salah if you have not removed that alcohol from your clothing. If it's less than a dirham, then the ruling is different. So drinking alcohol is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another account I would like to relate, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, and he invited some Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and because alcohol wasn't forbidden at that time, they were consuming alcohol in that gathering. And thereafter, it was the time of Salah. One Sahabi went forward and he began leading the Salah, and he made a major mistake in reciting in the Salah. And hence you heard the verse at the beginning, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى, that when you're intoxicated, don't offer Salah, because in that state, you might say the words wrong. You might commit a major mistake. So that's when the verse was revealed. And then moving on to the next part of this blessed verse, Allah Jalla wa'ala mentions, do not offer Salah in a state that you require ablution, major ritual ablution. You require ghusl. And obviously, ghusl, again, there are different masail. How does it become farz for a person to perform ghusl, nocturnal emission, relations with spouse, etc.? In such cases, a person has to do ghusl and then offer Salah. So he needs to be in a state of ritual ablution. He needs to have wuzu. He needs to ensure that his body is clean, his clothes are clean as well. There are many conditions. And then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about dispensations. That there are certain cases where the ruling is alleviated, it's lightened. The same hukum does not apply in every situation. It's the beauty of Islam as well. When you face haraj, when you face difficulty, the rulings do lighten. Now in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who are exempt from performing wudu. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. This part of the verse, it speaks about those who are ill. For example, a person who is ill, the qualified doctors advise him that if you were to perform wudu or ghusl, it would harm you, your condition would worse. In that situation, the sharia will alleviate, lighten the ruling for that person. He can perform tayammum. If someone is traveling and he cannot access water, and there are many rulings regarding this. There is tafsil that if you cannot find water in 1 mile radius, 1 mile this way, 1 mile that way, 1 mile that way, 1 mile that way, then in this situation, if he's tried and he can't, then he is allowed to perform tayammum. Or a person had intimate relations with his spouse, for example, and he can't find water. فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Then he is to perform tayammum with pure soil. Now, here the dispensation for tayammum, if we look at the context of revelation, subhanAllah, this was due to the blessing of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Sahaba would say this openly, that this blessing, this ease that we have in that we can perform tayammum in place of wudu in certain circumstances, this is because of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. And let's listen a bit regarding that. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was once with the group of Muslims on an expedition. It was the Ghazwa Banu Mustalik. And when the caravan was about to depart, she realized that she had lost her necklace. That necklace she took from her sister, Sayyidatuna Asma radiallahu anha. And she obviously made the caravan aware of this. They began searching for it. And the namaz time came close. There was no water. They were still in the same place. And this verse was revealed that they are allowed to perform tayammum in place of wuzu. So the Sahaba would say that this is due to the blessings of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, that we are allowed to perform tayammum in certain cases. Just a few rulings of tayammum. The faraid of tayammum are three. First of all, intention. Intention is key when performing tayammum. You have to have the intention of performing tayammum to purify yourself, etc. And this is different to ghusl and wuzu, because according to the ahnaf, the Hanafis, those who follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, such a person does not have to intend when doing wuzu or ghusl. But for tayammum, you have to make an intention. It's important. The second obligatory thing is that you must strike an area, soil, or anything from the genus of soil. So it's not limited to soil. Could be marble, could be limestone, could be other things as well. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi has written many things, dozens of things, in one of his booklets that you can use at the time of tayammum as well. So it's important to learn about the masail of tayammum. Here I'm just briefly mentioning the necessary aspects of tayammum. So you strike something, which is soil or from the genus of soil, and then you must wipe your entire face from where the hair starts until the bottom of the chin, earlobe to earlobe. You must wipe it all. And then thirdly, what you must do is you must also wipe your arm as well, including your elbow, from the fingertips to your elbows, in between your fingers as well. The khilal is necessary. And when you've done that, these three things you've intended, then you wiped your face, your arms, your tayammum is done. You are able to now perform salah, etc. So this was a brief description of tayammum. Now, in today's episode, three topics mainly we covered. That was the verse regarding the prohibition of praying when in a state of intoxication. So do not drink alcohol and then in a state of intoxication offer salah. It's not allowed. We also covered tayammum just now, and briefly the masail. And thirdly, I just want to touch upon something related to tayammum. Tayammum is a rukhsa. It's a dispensation, something that has been given to the ummah as ease. And if you look at, alhamdulillah, the history of Islam, if you look at the Islamic literature, look at what the scholars have wrote, you will find that there are many occasions when Allah Jalla wa Ala has granted us ease in our affairs. And the fuqaha, they know best when that ease will apply. So just to finish off, seven reasons why a fatwa, why a ruling would change. This is in light of what the fuqaha have written. Number one, safar. When a person is on a journey, then depending on what time he left, if he left before sahri, he is able to leave the fast of that day and make up for it afterwards. When in a journey, he performs qasr salah. So where he performed four farz, he performed two if he's reading alone. Jummah and Eidain are not wajib to perform for such a person. Secondly, the second reason why a mas'ala would change, the ruling would change, is illness. When somebody is ill, and because of the severity of that illness, ease is given. So for example, someone who can't stand up and offer salah, the rukhsa, the dispensation is that he sits and offers salah. If he can't sit and offer salah, then he lies down and offers salah. So much ease, alhamdulillah. If someone's ill, makes up the fast on other days. The third thing that the fuqaha mentioned is ikrah, coercion. Somebody is forced to do something. If somebody puts a gun to a Muslim's head and forces him, threatens to kill him if he does not say a kalima of disbelief, kufr, then the ulama mentioned here is that the azima, the greatest struggle would be to not say it and face the consequences of that. In this case, give your life. But the rukhsa, the dispensation, is that you say what you have been forced to say, you have been threatened, meaning your life is in danger, you say what they are saying, but don't intend it from the heart. This is the rukhsa. You must dislike that statement from the heart, dislike that kalima-i kufr. The fourth thing is nuqs, you could say shortcoming. Now, before someone is baligh, an adolescent, the ahkam of sharia are not obligatory for him. Meaning if he acts upon them, he'll be rewarded. But he won't be sinful if he goes against them accidentally or unknowingly. So you have a child who doesn't perform wuzu and touches the Quran. He's not baligh, he won't be sinful for that. So the ruling changes, there's dispensation there. He performs hajj, he goes with his parents, he's not baligh yet, he has not reached the age of puberty. Then he may commit many mistakes in that journey, in the hajj journey, due to which a normal person would have to give kafara, expiation. But because he's not baligh, he doesn't give expiation. So another shortcoming would be, a nuqs would be, for women in menses, they don't offer salah, and they don't make up that salah as well. But if menses occur during Ramadan, then they must make up the fast. Because salah is a daily thing, and Ramadan is once a year. But there's dispensation, lightening of the ruling. The fifth thing that would cause a mas'ala to change, as mentioned by the fuqaha, is forgetfulness. Somebody forgetfully ate whilst fasting, he forgot that he was fasting, he ate something, that's mu'af, that's forgiven. That as soon as he remembers, he takes whatever he has in his mouth out, and he's forgiven for what he has swallowed. So this was the fifth thing. The sixth thing is jahala, ignorance, or in this context, we will say lack of knowledge regarding something. You are not aware of something. This doesn't refer to seeking obligatory knowledge. That must be sought in all cases, in every case. But there are some cases where the Sharia overlooks or accepts an excuse where a person was unaware of something. And lastly, umum balwa. This is a fiqhi term as well. Common plight, where so many people, the khawas, the awam, they're all involved in something that they cannot refrain from. For example, the easy example would be paint and other things today, carpets. A lot of spirit is put into paints, other things as well. You can't avoid that. The manufacturers put that into it, so it contains some alcohol. But the fuqaha have said that because you can't refrain from this, it's very, very difficult. The awam are mubtala in this, are involved in this. The khawas are also facing this. Then the mas'ala changes. So these were seven things. And lastly, I would just like to request, never ever speak against the ulama, target the ulama. They know the Quran and hadith best. We can never say to the ulama, in the Quran it says this, how have you come to a different conclusion? They know the Quran, they know the hadith, but they know rulings that we don't know. For many people, these seven reasons for fatwa changing, it might be the first time you heard it. So never ever attack the ulama, respect them and respect their knowledge. Learn from them, inshallah, you will be successful in both worlds. So to summarize, in this episode, we heard about alcohol and namaz. Don't be intoxicated in the state of namaz. And we also heard that this ayah was revealed when there was no prohibition on alcohol. So someone can't say, okay, I won't drink alcohol and perform salah. I will drink alcohol afterwards, after performing salah. Ma'adala, today there is prohibition. And we studied and we heard about the gradual prohibition of alcohol. It was in stages as well. We also heard about the hukum of tayammum, when you're allowed to perform tayammum, dry ablution, when you don't have access to water, etc. And we heard briefly the masail of tayammum, the rulings of tayammum. And lastly, dispensations in general. We heard seven occasions when a fatwa would change, the ruling would lighten and be alleviated. And this is due to the blessings of the fuqaha, their immense knowledge, what they have derived from Quran and Hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn. And don't limit your study of the Quran. Look how much we've learned in this one episode. Don't limit your study to Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. Yes, it's the month of the Quran, but learn all year round. Inshallah, you will gain the treasure of knowledge by which you can adorn yourself. And that adornment will be key in the hereafter when you will be successful by means of it. May Allah Jalla wa Ala accept what has been said and enable us to act upon it. Ameen bijahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who believe